If you'll open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to read beginning with verse 17. 2 Samuel, the 5th chapter, verse 17. It says, "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' And David came to Baal Perazim. David smote them there and said, 'The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me at the breach of waters.' Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burned them." I'm going to stop right there. I think that we all know about the life, the significance of the life of David, and the king that had a heart after God, David, who was anointed of the Lord, even when he was just a boy. You remember the story. He was the unlikely of the brothers of Jesse, but he was the one that God said, he's the one. He was probably only maybe 14, 15 years old when he was anointed to be king over Israel. But after his anointing, he goes right back to the wilderness, right back to taking care of his father's sheep. And there's a process of many years. Actually, he doesn't become king over all of Israel until he's 30 years old. And so there's a long period of time there of waiting before he actually realizes the promise of God in his life. So it's kind of a remarkable thing that he was actually anointed three different times. He was anointed by Samuel there in Bethlehem at his father's house when he was just a boy. And then later he is anointed to be king over Judah, just that one section, that one region of Judah. But then finally, he's anointed king of Israel, over all of Israel. And that's what is being described here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, that when the Philistines heard that he had been anointed king over Israel, when they realized that he had been anointed king, then they decided to come and to try to attack him and to stop him from establishing his leadership and his place as the king. Now, the reason why I think it's important for us to look at this and to make some application to our own lives, to your family, to our church today, I believe it's important because we need to be reminded of a couple of things. Number one, Satan is not only the enemy of God, but he's the enemy of everyone. He's the enemy of all humankind, all of mankind. And that's the reason why that you can look all over the world, and where God is absent, when people have not received the gospel, then there's spiritual darkness. And sometimes I have actually been in places that was so void of God that you could almost feel the darkness, the heaviness of the absence of hearts open toward the Lord. And last week we talked about Satan being the enemy of God and being even jealous of God and eventually being expelled from heaven. Satan hates God and he hates all of mankind. And he's your enemy today. He hates you. He hates you just because you were born and you were created in the image of God. He hates every man, every woman, because when he sees you, he is reminded of the fact that we were born in the image of God, the crown of all creation. So those who want to make man equal or animals equal with men, it's a foolish thing, because man was the crown of creation. And so just because you were made in the image of God, Satan hates you. He's your enemy. And then he also hates you because you, unlike any other creation, you have a capacity to know God. You have the capacity to have a relationship with God, to know him. And you have a soul. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And it's that capacity to know God, to have a soul, and to have an eternal destiny, to have fellowship with God, to know God, and even to realize that God has a plan for your life. All of those things, Satan hates all of that. And he doesn't want to see any of it realized in your life. Our plans are pretty much not worth that much. But we certainly need to understand what the plan of God is for our life, because that is why we were created. We were created by God, and that makes us an enemy of God. And then another reason why that you're hated by the enemy, if you're a Christian here today, it's because you have been born again of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God dwells within you. And Satan despises you because of you. You have this capacity and this fellowship with God. And David was hated because of all of these things, but he was also hated because he had had a history with the Philistines, and God had used him to destroy Goliath and to bring judgment upon the Philistines. And so they certainly didn't want David to rise to that place and to realize the promise, the covenant that was given to him some 15 years before when he was just a boy. Could I just stop right there and say that the Lord deals with us and he speaks to our hearts. He gives to us a sense of purpose and destiny in our lives, sometimes when we're very young. And the enemy, he does not want you to see that happen. He doesn't want you to realize his plan in your life. And so he hates you. He wants to stop that. And he wants to hinder anything that God wants to accomplish in your life. So just be reminded, you have an adversary, the devil. He hates you and he hates everything about you. He's opposing you and he wants to stop God's promises and God's plan from being fulfilled in your life. Amen. The Philistines, when they heard that David was anointed king, that's when they rose up and said, we've got to stop this. We don't want him to even get a foothold of leadership. We don't want him to realize the promise of God being fulfilled in his life to finally be the king of Israel like God had promised to him. And so the Philistines, who were always, they were always the most dangerous and persistent enemies of the people of God. Again and again and again, they come. They're relentless in their attack against the people of God. Philistines, just the term, it means to roll or to roll in the dust. They were pilgrims and migrants, and so they could be seen coming from afar, and thus they received that title, those that are coming in the dust, those that are rolling in the dust. And it kind of gives us a very clear image of who they are. They're of this world. They're of this earth. And they play in the hands of the enemy to attack the people of God. The Philistines, they didn't want that promise of God to be fulfilled in David's life. They wanted to stop it. And they certainly didn't want him to be able to come to the full place of his understanding of what that anointing had been upon his life. Remember, when you go back to the early anointings of kings like David, whenever David was anointed of when Samuel poured the oil upon that young boy's head and he was anointed, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. That God was with him in a special way. The presence of God was with him from that day forward. Even when you go back to Saul, the first king, before he was lifted up in his pride, Saul, whenever he was anointed to be king, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he immediately, this was this shy, backward person who hid among the stuff, who didn't feel like he was qualified or that he could ever be a king or be in that place of prominence. But now, after he's anointed king, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he's able to destroy his enemies. And he's able to even prophesy. Because the hand of the Lord is upon Saul. In that same chapter where it describes Saul's anointing, it says that God gave him another heart. It was a transformation in his life. His whole future and destiny was changed because of the touch of God. The anointing of God was upon his life. Can I just remind you that the enemy hates the anointing? He hates the anointing that's upon your life and it's upon my life. He hates it that God has a plan for you. He wants to stop it. He wants to throw up everything in your pathway to keep the plan of God from being fulfilled in your life. But I just want to encourage you here today to understand that even though Satan wants to stop God's purpose and his plan in your life, that's what Satan's intentions are. God is a God who can come to you and he can break through for you. And I'll get to that here in just a moment. I'll get to you what I'm talking about when I say a breakthrough moment. Here in just a minute, so just stay with me. Satan attacks us, and one of the characteristics that is often true of the attack of the enemy against us is that it causes us, like David, to have to wait 15 years before he realized it all coming to pass. I noticed so many places in the scripture where people were in need, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited until finally the answer came. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years. The Bible says she had suffered much of many physicians, that she had spent everything that she had, and she had waited. She was at the last desperate moment of her life when she reached out and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and then she was healed. In John chapter 5, in verse 5, There was a man that had been by the pool of Bethesda. The Bible says 38 years he had been there. Can you imagine waiting that long to see the answer? Now, the message that I want to try to communicate with you here this morning is that God is a God of right now. God is a God who can move for you today. He's the God that can change your circumstance right now. And it's the enemy of your soul that wants to stop it from happening. Amen. In each one of these cases that I'm illustrating to you that they had this long wait, you'll notice that once they had an encounter with Jesus, their problem was solved. Once they met Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood was immediately healed. And this man who sat at the pool for 38 years, once he obeyed the voice of the Lord and took up his bed, immediately things were changed. How about the blind man that the Bible says, the man that was blind from birth all of his life. And now he is, we know he's adult. He's already adult because they're saying, what about this man? Who did sin? Was it him or was it his parents that sinned? And we know the story that it had nothing to do with that. It was all a part of the plan of God to open this blind man's eyes that God might be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. How about the boy that the father that brought his son to Jesus? And he said, I brought him to your disciples. They couldn't do anything about it. And Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. And then he touched him. And even all of these years, and Jesus took the time to turn to this father and said, how long is it ago that this came unto him? How long? Now, that verse, it touches me, and I hope that it touches you the way that it touches me this morning, because it lets me know that God is interested in how long you have struggled. He's interested in how long that you have been in this struggle of faith and confidence in God. God is concerned with you. The father said, since he was just a small child, the word there means since he was an infant. Since he was very small, he has, and we know the story that Jesus touched him and he was healed. In Acts 4 and 22, remember that the disciples came to the gate, beautiful. There was a man there that was lame, and he had been lame there. And it says there that man was above 40 years old when he was healed. So that from the time that he was
It was born until he's 40 years old. All of those years, he had waited for the hope and the promise of healing and deliverance and the help of the Lord. I want to encourage you here today to understand that God is able to help you. The enemy hates you, and he wants to stop you and hinder you from seeing God's purpose and seeing God's victory in your life. And David waited all those 15 years. Now, were they wasted years? No, not really, because he learned a lot of things during the process of his running from Saul and all of the things that he experienced before he finally became king of Israel. But the Bible says that when the Philistines came down, this is verse 18, the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, or the valley of giants. When he did that, then the Bible says that David went down into a hole. All the Philistines came to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. It was like a fortress. Most believe that this was probably a cave or some secret place that he had learned that that he had a hiding place where he could find safety and security whenever he was faced with trouble. I have to tell you that no matter what you're experiencing here today, no matter what it is, I think that we some face family problems, marriage problems, money problems, physical problems. Doesn't really matter what it is. Our response needs to be like David's was. He didn't depend on his own strength, even though David was a great man of war and he had great natural ability as far as to go out and to fight against his enemies. But whenever the enemy, the Philistines, came up against him, he recognized that he was going to have to find a secret place and inquire of the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, things can change if you're willing to seek the Lord with your whole heart. If you'll turn to the Lord with your whole heart. It's a foolish thing to think that we're just going to be able to make it through all of our struggles and come out in victory if we're not seeking God with our whole heart. He went down to a hole, or to a secret place. Everybody needs to have that place. Everybody needs to have their alone time, their quiet time, their private time with the Lord. And especially when you're in trouble, especially when you're feeling the fierceness of the attack of the enemy against you. You need to find a place and get alone with the Lord. Find a place and spend time in the presence of the Lord. That's what David did. Psalm 27 verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Psalm 31 and 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Psalm 91 and verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You'll notice this continuing theme in the life of David, because he depended on these times when he could get alone with God in a secret place, away from all of the distractions of this life, and to trust God and to wait upon the Lord. And David inquired of the Lord, the Bible says. He inquired of the Lord, and he said to him, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Notice that what he did was he asked him, first of all, what do you want me to do? And then he wanted to know what to do, and he wanted to have an assurance that God was going to move. Do you know you can pray? The old-fashioned old-timers used to call it praying through. Amen. Do you know you can pray until you pray through? You can pray until you can get the mind of God. You can pray until you understand that the victory is already yours. It's already in your hands. You don't see it yet, but you know it's your possession. That you prayed through to that, and you just know that you know that you know that you know. It's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. And your spirit is bearing witness with the Holy Spirit that you may not be realizing victory right now, but it's already yours. Amen. Because you've prayed through to that understanding. And that's what really David did. He inquired of the Lord, and he said, Lord, what do I do? Should I go up against the Philistines? And then he said, will you deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said to him, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now, David came out of that prayer meeting with a great deal of confidence, didn't he? Because God had told him what to do, and God had told him that when you obey me, I am going to give you victory. Right. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you need to do? There's nothing wrong with good counselors. There's nothing wrong with trying to find answers to problems. I'm not against what men can do to help us. But in reality, there are many circumstances that we find ourselves in that we have to inquire of the Lord, because we know he's the only answer. And we need to pray until we've prayed it through. And we believe that God not only is showing us what to do, but he's also showing us what he is going to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then David came to this place called Baal Perazim. Actually, it's named by him on this particular day. And you'll notice that by the last phrase of that verse. It's called Baal Perazim that day because he named it that day. But he comes to this place and it says, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me. You know what that's saying is that even as David advanced and obeyed God, he's saying, even before I got into the battle, before I even come face to face with the enemy, God had gone before me and he had already broken through on that situation for me. Glory to God. He says, like the breaking forth of waters. You know what a dam is? That a dam is built to control the flow of waters. Usually it was built to, well, several reasons that they would be built that I don't need to get into, but a lock or a dam would be built usually to control flood waters, but also to be able to harness the power of that water, and it would become like a force rushing through those turbines. And many communities and cities, their electricity comes from that resource. Amen. The power of that water. But what this is describing, this Baal Perazim, is that God broke the dam open. That God just broke it open and poured forth and broke through and gave answers in situations where maybe you have dealt with, you've prayed about, and you've heard the voice of God 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever there might have been. But what you need, and let me tell you, this is what the breakthrough moment is all about. This is what I'm talking about this morning. I really wrestled over, what do I title this? And I thought, well, I could call it Breakthrough Before You Have a Breakdown. But I decided instead that what really needs to happen is that you need to have an awakening. And I've heard them describe, it's kind of a modern term that's used, they call it an aha moment. An aha moment. And that is when it dawns on you some truth or some reality. And you realize, or you receive this insight or inspiration or recognition. You begin to comprehend something. That's an aha moment. But I'm talking about a breakthrough moment. And here's the importance of the breakthrough moment. It's important that you have this, because we have the breakthrough moment whenever we recognize that all these things that have come against us, everything that you faced, and maybe some of you for many years, and you faced the same problem, the same struggle over and over again. The breakthrough moment is whenever you realize that Satan is behind every bit of it. And his purpose is to stop the plan of God from being realized in your life. That's the breakthrough moment. And I pray this morning that we all wake up and realize, oh, wait a minute, what I'm going through, what I have gone through, my struggles and my troubles, the enemy of my soul, he's behind it all. He's the one that's trying to stop me. He's the one that's hindering me from progressing in the ways that God has for me. Amen. Glory to God. We needed a moment like that this morning. We need to realize that sometimes we're struggling in our situation, our trouble, our problems, our worries, maybe it's money or marriage or sickness or whatever that it is that you're dealing with. And maybe, you know, see, one of the things about the Philistines was their attack was when they would lose a battle, they would simply recover and restructure and come back again. When you read on in this chapter, the very next verses, you'll notice that the Philistines come against them again. And again, this reminds us of the fact that the enemy is relentless. And the only way that we can understand what this victory is all about is when we understand what's behind it all. The breakthrough moment is when you come to that realization, all these things are happening to me because Satan hates me. He wants to destroy me. He hates what God has for me, the promise of God, the potential in my life, and what he wants to accomplish in me. Satan wants to stop that. And behind it all is this battle like we described last week. This struggle between God and the enemy. And you and I, we're the battleground. And there's this continuing struggle of the flesh and the spirit. This struggle between Satan's plan and Satan's purpose and the purpose and plan of God in your life. And the breakthrough moment that you need to have is to realize that this is the devil doing this. Satan is doing this. He's the one that's lying. He's the one that's attacking. He's the one that's stopping. Amen. Glory to God. Now, God has some plans for you and for me. I believe He has a purpose for me individually, you individually. He has a plan for your household, for your family. He has a plan for the church here at First Pentecostal Church. God has a plan. But you know what the devil does? He builds up these big walls. He builds up these great fortresses, these great locks and dams to stop the plan of God. He wants to stop it. And he'll throw everything in your pathway to try to stop what God is wanting to do. But understand, behind all that's happening in your life right now, can be resolved if you'll just realize that every person's long problem was resolved by the fact that they had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you can just come face to face with the Lord here this morning, if you can just put yourself, now David, he came to the Lord, and you notice whenever these enemies came against him again, and you say, how do you know that this was a spiritual battle? Look at verse 51, or 21 rather, 2 Samuel 5:21. It says, and there they left their images, and David and his men buried them. Isn't that interesting? You see, the Philistines, they were there and they carried their idols into battle with them. They carried their idols. It's obvious that their pagan idol worship, that they were pawns in the hands of the enemy. The Philistines, they what they were doing was not just coming up against David and up against his forces. There was a force behind what they were doing. They were doing what they were doing because they were of the devil. They were of the devil. And on that day, they dropped their idols and they ran for their life because the flood of God's force and God's power as God broke in upon them and destroyed them that day, that they dropped their idols and they ran for their life. Glory to God. Praise God. So whatever your struggle today, could I just encourage you to know that the enemy is your adversary, sure. He's trying to stop you from being what God wants you to be. But whenever God breaks through in your situation, the enemy's going to be put to flight. That doesn't mean he won't keep tempting and he won't try to come back again. But you notice that the next time that David, he just goes back to his secret place. Again, Lord, what do I do now? Here's this enemy, the Philistines, they've come up against me again. This time the Lord says, don't go up against them. Don't go. Amen. Just because we've always done it this way doesn't mean it's always the way to approach it. You need to call on the Lord. Call on the Lord. This time he said, make a compass or make a circle. Go around to the backside of them. And when you do, that you're going to hear the sound of the going in the mulberry trees. You're going to hit down. You may be wondering, what in the world is that all about? But David's not confused at all. He understood because when he was just a boy, it went up against Goliath. He told Goliath, he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He understood that he was there and that all of heaven was behind him. All of the heavenly host was behind him. He understood that struggle that day. And we didn't understand the struggles that we're in. And that day, he said, just go wait by the mulberry trees and you're going to hear the sound of the goings or the marching of heavenly armies in the tops of those trees. And when you hear that, then you're going to know that God is smiting your enemy. Amen. Let it be when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful victory that was realized that day. Now here's what I wanted just to take a moment before we pray here today. I want to remind you how important that altar services are. And then when we call for people to come to the altar, now if you're just absolutely have to leave the building, then leave. But I want you to know that the altar service is an important time. It's just as much of the part of the service as any other part of the service. And I've been praying and I've been seeking the Lord about this altar service this morning, because I have no doubt that we will be speaking to a lot of people. You've struggled with the same thing over and over again, over again, over again, over again. You need God to break through in your situation. And the way that'll happen this morning is if you'll just allow faith to fill your heart, if you'll just recognize the enemy is trying to stop God's plan from being fulfilled in my life. But God, as I put my trust in him, he's going to break through on my enemies. He's going to break through on my enemy. And he's going to destroy my enemies. And he's going to give to me a victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you'll realize the plan of God. Amen. And I'd just like to speak before we all gather into the front of this sanctuary here. I just want you to say that this is how I believe the Lord has dealt with my heart about this. That there are certain things, even revival, even the fact that God wants to save many, many, many souls, dozens, even hundreds of souls in our altars. That's the will of God and the plan of God for us right here, is that there'd be a great harvest of souls. But you know that the enemy, he's built up this big blockade. He wants to stop the move of God. And he wants to hinder it. And anytime you pursue the things of God, there's a verse that says that he that departs from evil maketh himself a prey. Some people, they'll pray around the altar and then things get worse. And they just think, I'm not going to do that no more. I've prayed, and when I do, my problems get worse. Don't you understand that whenever you're seeking God and you're purifying your life and you're putting your trust in the Lord, the enemy, you become a prey, you become a target of the enemy. Just like David did when the Philistines heard that he had been anointed king over Israel, then they said, we're going to have to do something about this. We're going to have to stop this, because David is a man of faith. David is a man who has a heart after God. We can't let this happen. We got to stop him. And so the enemy comes against the First Pentecostal Church. He comes against you. He comes against the families of the church in all different types of ways, because he wants to stop the plan of God. The plan of God is revival. The plan of God is an outpouring of the Spirit of God. The plan of God is that our altars be filled every service with people seeking after the things of God. What do we need desperately? We need God to break through for us. We need God to break through in your life and in my life and in our church as a whole. And our callousness and our carefree attitudes. Understand that all of your disinterest in spiritual things, that behind it all, it's just the enemy. It's the enemy. He's trying to stop you from becoming what God wants you to become. If you want joy and fulfillment and the blessing and the touch of God upon your life, then you seek the Lord with your whole heart. You seek the Lord with your whole heart. And I'd like to ask you to stand with me, if we could. Unless you're physically, it's just impossible for you to get to this altar. I'd like for everybody in this sanctuary here today, you know, if the roast scorches a little, it'll be all right. Amen. Amen. This is more important. This is more important. I'd like to invite everybody in this building to come sincerely to this altar. If you would, just come and stand across the front of this building. And during this prayer time this morning, I want to ask you to pray Not a little quiet, you know, half-hearted prayer, but I want you to lift up your voice and cry out to God and just let him know, Lord, I know that you can break through for me. I know that you can break through in my household, in my family. You can break through in my financial needs, in my physical needs. And most important, Lord, you can break through and give revival and save the lost and bring victory. And that's what we desire to see. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So would you come? Would you come? Amen. I just want to encourage you to come to this altar and stand here at the front. If you're physically not able to understand, if you can come and sit here on these front seats, that would be okay too. But you need help from God. You need help from God. I don't think there's any family in this church, but what you do not need God to break through for you. And so this morning, if we will just with all one voice just begin to cry out to the Lord and ask God to move and to bring a victory and a breakthrough for us here today. God has some wonderful things that he will do if we'll put our trust in him today. Hallelujah.